Dear baby Jesus, how tiny thou art. I'll make a place for thee in my heart. Oh, it's a beautiful song, wasn't it? I want to thank Dr. Don Thurber for being our guest conductor today, and also last week. Always nice to have you here. I'm not much of a Christmas decorations guy. As a matter of fact, the only reason I bought the $10 plastic tree from Walmart 3 years ago was because my kids were begging for it, and of course I don't help them decorate. What kind of a father am I? But for this Christmas party tonight for the young adults at my house, I actually thought about hanging some lights outside the house. Of course, I didn't do it, but I was surprised that I even thought about it. I must really love the young adults of this church. My neighbor spends at least about 100 hours decorating for Christmas. He takes a special vacation after Thanksgiving just for this. And besides the thousands of lights, he has a life-size reindeer set that anchors on top of his roof with life-size Santa. It might be bigger than life-size. And reindeer, I mean, it's the nativity scene with, of course, baby Jesus and the animals in the stall. Just amazing, the kind of work that he does for this. And on top of that, he's an atheist. Indeed, our society has made the Advent season into quite a busy one, and we are scrambling to prepare for Christmas, to do all the tree lighting and the card writing, the toy shopping, the gift wrapping, and the party planning, whether you are a Christian or not. But for those who believe, there is a voice crying in the wilderness, which says, prepare the way of the Lord. It's a different kind of preparation. Which passage are we looking at today, you think? A voice of one crying in the wilderness. Luke 3, if you have your Bibles with you, go there to Luke 3, verses 1 to 6. This is the gospel reading for this week. Luke chapter 3. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and so forth. Verse 2. While Annas and Caiaphas were high priests, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. He was already in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight, every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Let me ask you this. Who is the one preparing the way of the Lord? Quickly. John the Baptist is what I thought this whole time. And indeed, he did in such a way that Jesus would say, there is no one born of woman greater than John the Baptist. So he certainly did the preparing. But when the voice says, prepare the way of the Lord, he is talking to people. So who's doing the preparing? People are. The listeners are. And if we are listening to this message today, he is talking to us. He's telling us to prepare. We are the ones preparing the way of the Lord. So that's what we're talking about today. I realize not a lot of people get a specific calling from God as the word of God came to John in the wilderness, and not a lot of us are compelled to go into all the region around us preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. But to prepare for the Lord is a calling for anyone and everyone who will listen. So that's each one of us. We are being called as we have heard the message of John the Baptist just now. He says to us, you prepare. Prepare the way of the Lord. So what is this preparation then? What is it? What are we preparing for? What preparation is this? What did this mean for the original listeners of John? And what does it mean for us today? This is the topic for today and next week, preparing for Christmas. Today we will deal with the individual preparation. Next week we will talk about preparing for Christmas as the body of Christ. For today, I guess the simple answer would be something like, prepare yourself for the incarnation of Christ in your heart. Does that sound good? To prepare the way of the Lord is to believe Christ to be the Savior of the world and wait in anticipation for him to enter your life. Do you object to that one? Does that sound good? Is that how we prepare? The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? If you recall, the original listeners of John the Baptist were a nation of people waiting for whom? Waiting for the Messiah. They were waiting for Christmas, which means God incarnate. Since the beginning of this nation, each generation of them were waiting for the anointed one who will fulfill God's promise and bring peace and freedom. I don't know that the listeners of John the Baptist were any less intense in waiting. They were a nation who had already chosen God and chosen by God. So why would John the Baptist say to them, prepare the way of the Lord? Weren't they already prepared? They were not worshiping the false gods. They were worshiping the true God. They were waiting in anticipation of the Messiah. If waiting is what it means to prepare, they were certainly prepared, weren't they? So why is John saying this? Why is there a need for us who are already believers of Christ to hear a message on preparing for Christ? If you have already chosen Christ as your God, is there a need to prepare again? If you have prepared many years ago and accepted the incarnate Christ into your heart, do you need to, in this season, in 2012, in the Advent season, prepare one more time? Do you? Or is this just redundancy? Many people could not understand John the Baptist because he was calling for something they thought they didn't need. John's message was also offensive and redundant, who repeatedly told them to repent of their wickedness. They were thinking, we've heard that from you already. Why do you keep telling us to repent? Why do you keep telling us to prepare? Have you ever heard the same story over and over again, especially from your spouse, as you're meeting with friends, and you motion to your husband, don't tell that story again. Please, I can't bear to hear it one more time. I'm already doing that. I'm only 44, but already people have said to me, Pastor, you've already told us that story. Hopefully not, that hasn't happened for my preaching. Just in one-on-one conversations, they would kindly say, Pastor, you're repeating yourself. I wonder if that's how people feel in church many times. You know, if you've been attending church for 30, 40, 50 years, I mean, how many sermons have you been listening to, especially if you've been diligent at coming to church? Do you feel like it's the same message over and over again? Oh, the other preacher preached that last time he was here, and again, you're preaching the same sermon about preparing ourselves in this Advent season. I heard this story that happened at my alma mater, which is Southern Adventist University, where my friends also went, that one time the preacher preached a sermon, and the following week, the guest preacher preached the exact same sermon down to the details and the jokes. And the congregation was in awe, in a negative way. Did you know that preachers steal sermons from each other? Did you know that? Of course, I don't. A parishioner says to his pastor, Pastor, I'm sure that you never steal sermons from other preachers. How would you know that? The preacher says. Because when people steal, they generally steal something of value. Can you tell that I didn't steal that joke? Anyway, do you feel like church is a broken record? Each year, we go through the same liturgical calendar, the same exhortation to prepare our hearts for the coming of Christ. While I wouldn't blame you if you did, I hope you don't feel that way. This is the first thing I want to say today. I hope that you take the same message of John the Baptist this year and make a fresh application to your life. Because like eating and washing, some things should be done on a regular basis. Just because you accepted Christ many years ago doesn't mean that you don't need that experience of repentance and preparing for Christ ever again. As a matter of fact, humans are prone to forget. Especially their first love with God, and without the constant reminder and experience, the encounter with God, we are susceptible to become hard-hearted. The servant of Matthew 18 was forgiven much, but forgets and demands with such harshness his fellow servant. Perhaps this servant would not have been so wicked toward his friend if he just had a reminder of how much he had been forgiven. For that reason alone, we really could use this Advent season to remember, to reenact, to relive how we have come to follow Christ, our God. The second thing I want to say is this, and there's just two things. Perhaps we have been like the ones in the Bible, thinking that they are already prepared to receive the Messiah simply because they belong to the true religion. John's message was only offensive and repetitive to those who were full of themselves, who lacked humility to consider what John was saying To quote Feasting on the Word, a commentary on the passage for today, quote, John the Baptist interrupts our schedules and demands that preparations of another kind, a different kind, be made. He calls us to examine ourselves and our world. He challenges the Advent people with a message of personal and corporate self-examination. What I'm saying is this. Use this Advent season to reevaluate yourself. When the psalmist says, "Search me and know me and know my thoughts," he's not really asking God to know for himself, because God already does, doesn't he? He's not giving permission to God to know his heart. What is he really saying when he says, "Search me and know me"? He's saying, "Search me and reveal that to me. May I see a reflection of myself." It's an introspective prayer. There's a story of Jesus I didn't like before this week. It's when he visits Mary and Martha. And Martha, what is Martha doing? She is busy preparing for the guest of honor. What is Mary doing, on the other hand? She plops herself down in front of Jesus and does nothing. And so what does Martha do? She's had it. She's a patient person, but she's not going to be anymore. She goes to Jesus and says, "Help me, Jesus. My sister is being indolent and irresponsible again." Jesus' response must have been very shocking to Martha, because I think she thought this through. Of course, Jesus will not condone such behavior, especially when there are so much preparations to be done. But what he says shocks her, because what does he say? She has chosen what is better, what is more important. Now, I didn't like this story, because I'm like, what? Well, I no longer have negative feelings toward this story anymore, because I think I'm beginning to understand what Jesus meant by that. Mary wasn't being lazy at all. In some ways, she was doing what was more difficult. It's much easier to prepare something physical, to evaluate something that is not within yourself. And in the presence of God, self-examination is inevitable at a certain point. And we cry out with the disciples, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am evil." Martha was preparing food, but Mary was preparing for something much greater, preparing her heart, preparing the way of the Lord. I believe that this Christmas season could be, should be, a time to reflect on what life has been for us and what it could be. It is a time to reevaluate our disposition toward God. Is there a real connection there? Ask yourself. And if we have lost the first love, this is the opportunity to relive that wondrous and glorious encounter. If we have forgotten, this is the time to recount the mighty acts of God in our lives, to remember how much we have been forgiven. So how do we prepare for Christmas then? We reevaluate. We reflect. We reconnect we relive, reenact, and hopefully we respond. Pray the prayer of the psalmist, Psalm 139, 23. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen.